Good morning. A story that we brought to you in January. It all kicked off after we asked why pallets were being left 6 months before the annual 11th night bonfires in East Belfast. The next day, bonfire collectors had a message. F. Stephen Nolan was a banner they put over the pallets. A picture was then posted online. Now even more material, including toxic tires, have been dumped at a controversial bonfire site in East Belfast, a pathway that forms part of the £40 million Conswater Community Greenway project. The outgoing Ulster Unionist leader Mike Nesbitt tweeted at the weekend about it, saying burning tires is not culture. Belfast City Council is coming under pressure to remove the bonfire material. Guess what they've said? Issues pertaining to bonfires are complex, they say, and multifaceted. Responsibilities for the management of bonfires and associated issues is not just the responsibility of the council. We will continue to work with partners and communities to address the issue and relieve the negative impacts associated with bonfires. Complex, multifaceted, continue to work with partners. They haven't gone as far as saying multi-agency approach, which many organisations do over the years when we talk about bonfire wood. Here's the reality. It's still there and nobody's moving it. Councillor Jim Rogers, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Here we go again, Jim. Again, a £40 million beautiful project. And now it's got tires piling up along it.
Yes, Stephen, it's totally unacceptable. The biggest problem that we're finding is trying to get the source of the tires. Which tire supplier is actually giving these tires out, or are they being stolen from depots? If they are, then naturally the police should be informed. We are working exceptionally hard. I know there's going to be an uproar, people saying, that's all you ever hear. We have to take one step at a time. We're talking to the police, the Fire and Rescue Service, the Environment Agency, the Housing
Fire and Rescue, the Fire and
Transport Northern Ireland,
the Fire and Rescue Service.
Yes, absolutely. They're key players, and they do a fantastic job, as you're aware, right up until the actual 11th, 12th of July.
It comes down to who's going to lift them, who's going to remove them.
Well, Stephen, we are talking to our partners and community activists.
I'll be getting the magic roundabout music out if you're not careful.
Well, I know you're more than likely to do that. Later this morning, I hope to be speaking to influential people along with some of my council colleagues. You can rest assured that we're not turning a blind eye to this. We can't afford to. This is an absolutely fantastic greenway.
Beautiful
thanks
greenway.
To the great work of the East Belfast Partnership
Beautiful.
Board back to the City Council.
I haven't walked along it because I don't do walking, but I've seen pictures of it and it's beautiful.
Stephen, in all seriousness, you should take a walk along it. It is fantastic. Right from Craigie Glen down to Victoria Park. I know some people who were out there over the weekend, they couldn't believe the transformation, but we have got to address this problem, and I'm appealing this morning to the bonfire builders to please listen to our message.
Yeah.
We need to get the tires, we need to get the pallets moved. We're only into the third week in March, and we're still, approximately 3.5 months until the 11th night. It's not good enough, it's not acceptable, and it's a major talking point in East Belfast at the moment.
Yeah, but there are lots and lots of signals and messages sent out over the years to people who decide that they're going to throw bonfire wood everywhere and anywhere they want. And surely the message, Jim, is work away, you'll get away with it. Because what the authorities will do, listen, I repeat again, I've been doing this since City Beat days. For about the last 20 years, I've been doing this story. And here's what you all say all of the time, every time, every single time something like this happens with bonfire wood, there will be a statement in from the council or from the police or whichever other authority, and they will say, this is more than one organisation's responsibility. We're working with our partners. We're going to approach it with a multi-agency approach. And do you know what happens? Nothing. Diddly squat happens.
Stephen, that is not true. You take it from me, all the various government departments and agencies, which I have mentioned, including the council, where good relations are involved, our parks, our community safety, they're actively involved here. And the key players are the local community. And if we were to go in now and lift those tires and pallets, you can rest assured within 48 hours there'll be twice as many tires, there'll be twice as many pallets. So it's one step at a time. But I want all of your listeners to fully understand this morning that we are acting actively in this one, and hopefully we can get a resolution.
But Jim, seriously now.
I am being serious.
But is that statement from you not sad in itself? That if you go in and you remove this illegal activity, there would be double the amount of it put back in retribution within hours. For goodness sake, Jim, we need to stand up to these people.
Stephen, we're talking here about young people, some from age 8 upwards. You've got to work
8-year-olds are not carrying tires. That site, we've sent out a picture, I'm sure we have, of those tires and pallets. There's no way 8-year-olds are carrying those.
I'm not saying they're carrying them, but they're part of the bonfire scheme. Now, tomorrow night in the City Hall, there's a meeting of all interested parties who are involved in bonfires, and we want to put forward a number of new ideas to them, and hopefully it will bear fruit, because we've got some fantastic bonfire schemes who give us no trouble whatsoever and are availing of the City Council bonfire programme.
This one is the test, isn't it? Because
it
this is a £40 million. The council and the agencies have done an incredibly good job in improving.
Don't forget the contractors.
Yes, and the look. They've all done an incredible job, a brilliant job, a beautiful landscape now, which any community could be proud of. And there are louts going in and sticking two fingers up and throwing rubbish, because that's what tyres and bonfire wood is in this context. They're throwing rubbish all along it. They're sticking two fingers up to all of you, to all of the agencies. Let's see what you're going to do about it.
Well, yes, let's see. And I have just said to you, I want to assure you and your listeners that everyone that I have mentioned are continuing to play their part to get this matter resolved.
Here's John in Cookstown. Morning, John. Hello, John. John's riveting this morning. Stuart in Clogher. Morning, Stuart.
Yeah, I just want to make a quick point, because my battery's running low. It's just that, you know what I mean, the taxpayer has to fund the clean-up operation after these tyres. Listen, I'm not against anyone celebrating their culture, but the taxpayer on the ordinary Joe Blogg on the street, who owns a car, who runs a car to go to work Monday to Friday, his car has to pass a strict emissions test before it's allowed out onto the road. So why are these people allowed to burn big black tyres and clogs of big black smoke going up into the air?
Do you mean, Stuart, that if you were driving your car illegally down the road with no tax and no insurance and the police stopped you, do you mean that they wouldn't say, sorry, we're not going to do you today because it's a multi-agency approach, this? We've got to go and talk to all our partners around the country, and it's a complex and multifaceted issue. Do you mean they wouldn't say that?
Listen, my car's tax insured for the road and always has been. And if it wasn't tax insured for the road, my children wouldn't be in it and I wouldn't drive in it. Tax and all that's not an issue with me. It's the emissions test. If your car goes as far to the test centre, then obviously it's tax and insured. And then if it passes the MOT and MOT test, fair enough. But I'm talking about why is ordinary Joe Blogg always footing the bill for people indiscriminately burning tyres?
If the ordinary citizen, in other words, the rest of us listening to this programme this morning, if we got a whole pile of tyres and put them into our front garden, right, do you think it would be long before the council was out?
But, sir, people's washing their hands with it. Nobody knows who's in charge. The taxpayer, they're the one that foots the bill. They have no say in the matter. Clean it up and the taxpayer pays for it.
John's in Lisburn. Morning, John. Go ahead, John.
Morning.
Go ahead, John.
I can't believe Mr. Rogers. Like, he's unbelievable coming out with talk like that. You know, don't uphold the law, because they'll come along and do it even worse. Like, my goodness. But where's all these paramilitaries, so-called community workers, whatever you call them, my community and all that outfit? Where's he at? You know, there's nothing happens in them areas, but the paramilitaries don't say yay or nay to them. And Jim Rogers is on there talking about 8-year-olds. They're big 8-year-olds, let me tell you.
Jim?
Well, I'm talking about people as young as
you. Need to go to the man that's standing them out, Jim.
I'm talking about people who are as young as eight.
They're looking at the older ones. Let's be real here. Adults who you would know well, probably.
Belfast City Council are taking the lead. They're leading this operation.
Of course they are. You'll bring them in and give them tea and buns and a wee drink and say, right, any chance, please, if you're removing that stuff.
No, that is not how it works.
I know how it works.
You have to cooperate with people. You can't win with a heavy hand.
Excuse me.
I think you should come over to East Belfast.
I'll tell you how it works, Jim. It is not working.
I think you should come over to East Belfast and see how quickly...
I wouldn't send my dog to East Belfast.
John, that's uncalled for now. Who runs
the place? Belfast City Council or a lot of thugs?
Well, it's Belfast City Council. It's Belfast City Council. It's not a lot of thugs. The greater number of people in East Belfast and Belfast are decent, hard-working, honest, trustworthy individuals.
Maybe you should give them another couple of million to get by, pallets.
We have got a problem here, and we're trying to sort it out. And we will. We will. I can assure you.
But Jim,
jump in with both feet.
Jim, I'm looking at the pictures on the Nolan website now, right, on our Twitter feed at Stephen Nolan. And these pallets, you know, these pallets have been carried there, and they certainly have not been carried there by eight-year-olds, all right? Those pallets have been carried there. Okay, fair enough. So there are definitely adults have transported that volume of tires and pallets. My goodness, it's a pretty organised operation actually to get them there. Okay, so there must be 100-odd tires there, and this photograph I'm looking at, and pallets around it. Okay, now Jim, my point to you is that if any of the rest of us piled these up in our front garden, surely the council would be out immediately, and rightly so.
Jim Rogers saying that is
an environmental risk. Here's a warning notice. Here's a fine. In other words, Jim, I put it to you again. It's one rule for the law-abiding citizens as far as the council's concerned. And if you're a thug wanting to pile pallets and tires up, you get a little message that we need to work with you. Is that not fair?
No, Stephen, it's most unfair.
Why?
Well, if the council find out where the tires came from, who brought the tires, you can rest assured action will be taken, and it's the Environment Agency's responsibility. And they have made prosecutions over the years, because I've challenged them, I've asked them, and they've said yes, we have taken action. Equally, it's the same with the council. It's like dropping litter, where you will be fined. And if the council establish who the individuals are, they definitely will take action. They will not show favouritism, including myself. If I drop a piece of litter, I'm not above the law. They will give me a fixed penalty ticket.
I'm trying to understand why the council doesn't go in and lift them.
I'm not ruling out them being lifted, Stephen, but you just don't go in with a heavy hand. We've been working at this now for several weeks, and we will get there. Please, please believe me. And I don't want the pressure to be continuously put on by your programme, because there's other things happening in Belfast, Northern Ireland, which are probably equally, or if not more, important. So all I'm simply saying is, give us a chance. Give us the opportunity, and that's what we're trying to take.
Okay, here's Michael in Belfast. Morning, Michael. Michael's listening to something else. Anne in Belfast. Morning, Anne.
Good morning. Listen, the answer is cameras. Put cameras where the vandals and thugs can't get at them, and capture them on camera. And the thing is, that poor man, God love him, what do you call him?
Jim Rogers.
The answer is, they don't want to go in and cause a fuss. They're afraid of losing votes. Get cameras up. They've done it on the bus lanes. Every turn you make, you have to be careful. So get the cameras up.
Oh, listen, drive into a bus lane, you've got a 45 quid fine the next day.
Exactly.
It's all efficient. Take hundreds of tyres that will pollute the environment. Work away there. It's a multifaceted, what is it? It's complex and multifaceted.
Listen, Stephen, Let them plant trees where they would put bonfire stuff everywhere, where there's a green or anything, and they can't, because surely to God the people wouldn't allow them to burn the trees.
Alan and Carrickfergus. Morning, Alan.
Morning, Stephen. I just wanted to ask Jim something. I mean, Jim, don't get me wrong. I'm a Protestant. I collected for bonfires when I was a kid all my life, and I don't want to see bonfires banned or anything like that. But you said that if the pallets and the tires are taken away today, there'll be twice as many tomorrow. My question to you would be, so what? You take those away, and then you keep taking them away until eventually they run out of pallets and tires to put there. So if I use the analogy about a piece of litter, if I drop a piece of litter, I get a fine. They don't say, well, hold on, we'll not fine him because he drops a piece of litter that's twice as big tomorrow.
Well, Alan, we're trying to find out, as I said earlier in this interview, in regards to where the tires are coming from, who's giving out the pallets. And up to now, as I understand it, we have not been able to put our finger on who's...
But Jim, while you're finding that out, it doesn't stop someone taking them away.
That's a smokescreen, Jim.
Stephen, it doesn't, but all I'm simply saying to you, and I can understand where your listeners are coming from, make no mistake about it. I would love to go in today with a group of councillors and others and remove those tires and remove those pallets. But all I'm saying is it could make the situation worse, and we don't want that to happen. We want these...
And what do you mean by that? It could make it worse?
Well, basically, you could have a confrontation, you could have a riot, and the police will tell you the same thing. They believe in carrying out what they use a phrase called sensitive policing. And they have to assess...
Is that a euphemism for turn a blind eye?
No, it's not.
Sensitive policing. Do whatever you want.
No, look, Stephen, it isn't.
But why is there not sensitive policing, Jim, when the rest of us drop litter? Why is there not sensitive policing when the rest of us want to build an extension and you've got to get planning permission? Why is there not sensitive policing? Why is it not multifaceted when someone gets a council letter out to them to tell them that they haven't paid their rates, and unless they pay them within 14 days, they're going to be pursued through the courts and bankrupted? There's nothing sensitive about the approach to ordinary citizens when they break any rule whatsoever. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do, Stephen. I do.
There are rules, and we're expected to adhere to them.
Yes. And we believe in Belfast City Council treating everyone in an equitable fashion. Now, as I already told your researcher, whenever he asked me to come on the programme, I have to go because I've got a meeting today along with other colleagues on the council, as well as community workers with a big employer in East Belfast. And then afterwards we'll be talking about this bonfire situation.
Thanks, Jim. Always appreciate
you
coming
on. Thank you very much,
Stephen.
Nice to talk to you.
Bill in Belfast. Morning, Bill. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. He's away. I think Jim was very brave at coming on to defend the undefendable. He's talking waffle. He says they're trying to get in contact with the people that own the tires and own the pallets. Well, my question to Jim was, what do you do after the 11th night? Get in touch with the people that own them then? What do? The council lifts the rubbish. So Jim was talking waffle by saying they can't. Because in the end result, they're lifting the rubbish. But he's gone.
Bill, thank you. Phil Hamilton is with us this morning. Phil, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You're a community worker in a different area. What is this about collecting for bonfires that they think that some of them who collect the wood think they can do whatever they want?
Well, Stephen, first of all, just before I answer that question, some of the terminology that came out on the programme today, like thugs, I think it's a demonisation of young people. Now, you yourself have admitted that you used to collect for a bonfire. And also what you've done as well, Stephen, you've actually went and met some of these young people. And you turn around and said in your programme, when you got up the New Moss, saying how inspired you were by these young people. And you are now labelling people rights and thugs.
Okay.
And I just think,
all right.
Stephen, really, then we can label young people, I guess. But this is really what we want, to label our young people. Now, you turn around and say it to me.
Phil, can I just... Okay, of course I'll give you space this morning.
That's a valid point,
but what else... How else do you describe someone that sees tens of millions of pounds put into their community to try to make the site and the surroundings and the environment beautiful for families, for children to play in, to take pride in their area, and someone dumps piles of wood and tires, and if those tires are burnt, it pollutes the neighbourhood. How else do you describe those people?
Well, Stephen, first of all, what you have to do, you have to engage with the people. And I admire Jim and other people that's probably working behind the scenes. Well, I was fearful when I heard that Jim was going to meetings that this conversation could jeopardise the outcomes of the meetings that Jim and others are going to have. However, what I would turn around and say, engaging with the young people, and what I've always said, Stephen, and you've agreed with me, that there is three issues involved around bonfires. The first is location, storage, and material. When we were younger, tires were acceptable to burn. There was no problem about it now. However, we are in a changing environment, and what we have to do is give young people alternatives. What I've turned around and said is that conversations do have to come, and you're quite right in what you said, Stephen. You were spot on the ball when you turn around and says that the multi-agencies ain't working together. It seems to be passing the buck. What we need to do is sit down and address the alternatives. I would turn around and say that if you spoke to them young people and asked them why they collected a march for a bonfire, they're going to tell you that it's harder and harder to get material. If you ask them why is there tires on that site, they're going to come off with a very, very simple answer to you. For elevation and for fill in the bonfire, they're using tires.
But then it comes back to questions like Jim's asking.
But Phil,
it comes back to questions like Jim's asking. Where on earth are they getting the tires from? Like, where do young people get 100 tires from?
Well, there's definitely people out there who would exploit any situation. And what I'm turning around and saying is, I think Jim was quite right on what he says, that we need to get to the bottom who is giving the tires. Because I know when I go and change my tires anywhere, I get charged £2 to £3 for disposal. So that is a different issue completely. But Stephen, what we have to turn around and do, and I spoke to councils, I spoke to commissions, and academics have said that the only way this is going to be resolved is with community buy-in. With community buy-in. And community buy-in means all the staff agencies, the PSNI, and the community themselves.
But if you're saying...
Academics, can I just make this point? Academics in Queens have clearly stated that enforcement is not the way forward. It has to be community buy-in. And there's some great examples, Stephen.
But if you are saying that this material is so hard to get, and that's why the younger people are, and I, by the way, I it's my job to question things. I just wonder if it is all younger people. Okay, you know, is it definitely all kids? Are there not adults involved here? I suspect.
I say there's young men as well.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So
because the underlying issue that we have to ask is why is there young men in our community out clanking for bonfires?
But if they are, if you're telling me that this material is so hard to come by, right? And that's why they're collecting now, because it's really precious stuff. It's hard to come by. Then surely, Phil, if that material, which is hard to come by, if it's dumped illegally, is lifted, if they lose it because they dump it illegally, then surely logic would suggest that that would stop them doing it in the future. Every time they dump it, they lose it. They'd get the lesson.
Stephen, bonfires have been part of our culture. And across the culture, look at Guy Fawkes Night and stuff like that. So what we're turning around saying, if we want to have bonfires as part of our culture, there has to be designated bonfire sites. You go and ask the housing executive, you ask your researchers, go and ask the housing executive, go and ask councils, can areas and communities have designated bonfire sites? They'll turn around and say to you, they don't have any designated sites. So when we talk about material going down early, we have to look at storage. Now, Stephen, what we've done up in Rathcoon with a smaller bonfire, and it doesn't work for all bonfires, is a local company donated 2 containers, and that material was put in the container and put out of sight and put out of mind, and that was another good example. But when you try and give it alternatives, and I know for a fact that the LCC, over the last 5 months, have been doing some great work towards this. When we do bring alternatives to the table, it's always red tape. It's always health and safety this, health and safety that. And what has to happen, Stephen? We all have to work in partnership. It has to be community buy-in. And I say that the reason why the pilots are there, I would turn around and say, right, going to be a big bonfire site. So what we have to do them is to turn around and say, is there some area outside the site where this pallets could be stored?
Okay.
Is it possible to put wood fill? But if I go up there to storage bits at the minute, I see many of pit fills full of wood chip. Could that be then put in the middle to, as a compromise to take away?
You do get the beauty of this site. You get the beauty of this Greenway site. It's absolutely, it's an incredible achievement, a beautiful achievement by Belfast City Council and the contractors and the community and everybody that was involved in creating that £40 million Conswater, keyword, community greenway project. It's for the community. And now it's being blighted by people that don't care.
Well, Steve,
they just don't care.
The three issues that I have mentioned, and anyone that has a bit of sense, location, storage, and material. Now, if the City Council or anybody would come in and say, look, we know this is a blight on the local scenery. This is affecting people's quality of life. And bring in storage containers. Surely, that would be a lot better than having material just left there. And what we have to do, and I'm very meaningful on this, Stephen, there's talks going on behind the scenes. And
okay.
We don't want to do anything, Stephen, to jeopardise that.
All right. Here's
the thing.
Okay.
It's a demonisation of a community, Stephen. And we can't demonise. You want to do you see them, young lads, up in New Rossley. And know what the current said. They asked you, but they wanted a football pitch. They still haven't got it.
03030. I want to come back to that, actually, because I promised I would help with that. And I want to come back to that because I didn't, to my shame. And I need to see what I can do about that.